Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Word of a king is, there is power. Experience the life-changing impact of God's Word as Bishop Eddie Addy of the Anointed Word Chapel International brings you anointed and inspired teaching filled with truth, clarity, and authority. Get ready to be empowered for victory and transformed for His glory.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet.
Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to hear your word. We ask you to speak to us, guide us, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Born again is the title of my message. Born again. Let's go to John chapter 3. We are all going to read a passage that I believe will help you get introduced to the wonderful experience of born again. Born again. John chapter 3, let's read from verse 1. Shall we go? Everybody reading. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except... Beautiful. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yes. Yes. Verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know. We do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here ends the reading. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. Now, you see a little verse here that says, verse 10, he says, "Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things?" You know, this man comes to Jesus and I don't think he was asking about being born again, but Jesus decided to use his little inquiry, I should say, because he said, "We know that you are a man sent from God, because nobody can do the miracles you are doing except God be with him." That's all. It was not a question. It's like, "We know that you are a man of God because of the things that you are doing." And then Jesus answered and said, "I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So it's almost like it's unrelated. But Jesus used the opportunity to explain to him how the kingdom and experiencing things in the kingdom comes about. He says, except you are born again, you cannot enter into or cannot see the kingdom of God or experience the kingdom of God or see the things of the kingdom. So then Nicodemus asked a question that, you know, then does it mean to be born again? Can a man be born when you are old, your jaws are strong, your head is now harder? Your shoulders cannot easily bend and be squeezed through a channel. Then they say you should be born again. You see, so he was thinking in the realm of the natural. And Jesus immediately took him on and said, "Are you a ruler of the Jews and understandeth not these things? Are you a member of Anointed Word Chapel International and do not understand what it means to be born again? Are you an old Christian churchgoer and do not understand these things?" All of us need to come to a place where we understand these things. Because people who are born once are the people who are born biologically. You came from your mother's womb. Do you understand? But the second birth, Jesus said that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, which means that it is a spiritual thing. So let me give you, I have just 7 points. I'm going to list them and then we go home, because today my message is shorter than it has ever been. So number one, why must you be born again? Number one, you must be born again because the first time you were born in sin. Yes. The first time you were born in sin. When you have to do an exam again, what does it mean? It means that the first one was not good. All right? In Psalm 51, verse 1, the psalmist is writing. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. The last verse is, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So, the first time we are born into this world, we are born into a world of sin. Okay? Okay, church? Do you understand? Now, you need to understand this thing, because Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus that having been a ruler of the Jews for so many years, you should have understood some of these things. And sometimes you can be in a church for a very long time, a nice church like ours, a charismatic church like ours, but you don't understand these things. But you will understand them. So, the first time you were born in sin. That is why it's important to be born again, so that that sin one can clear off and the righteous one can come. Number two, you must be born again because you are dead. Death has fallen on all men because of their sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read from verse 4, he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are saying that we must be born again, because a person who is not born again is dead. Spiritually, you are dead. Genesis chapter 3. I'm explaining something. I'm just teaching today. I'm explaining what needs to be explained. It's not every day that we tell stories. Sometimes we have to tell the scriptures the way it is. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Verse 1. Which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called out to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And the Lord cursed the serpent and put enmity between them. So here is the beginning of our problems. The beginning of our problems was this garden experience where The first man and the first woman ate the tree that God said they shouldn't eat from. Yes. And that immediately exposed them to nakedness, because they were already naked physically. But they didn't see it as a problem. You see, like, all the animals are naked. Have you seen any of the animals with any leaves around them or anything? Well, that's how we were supposed to be. They will be just around the poo-poo. You can see everything. They are walking. Everything is showing. Nobody, the dog is not ashamed that even when they are having their period, we see it. It's not like any. It's because they are in a certain type of innocence. But when that thing goes, do you see? You become conscious of yourself. Hey, what is this I'm seeing? Hey, woman, how come you are different from me? What are these two things? What is this one? Do you understand? And that is immediately how sin entered into the world. And God says that the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And the devil said, God knows that you will not die. God knows that you will know good and evil. So he deceived them to make them think that once you are not dying physically, you have not died. But actually, that death means that you are totally cut off from God. And now you are on your own. So, we are dead. So, when people are religious, you are a dead religious man. But you are not born again. When you just go to church, and you just come to church, Sunday after Sunday, you are in church. You come whenever you come. Some people come whenever they come. No problem. But you are here anyway. Just going to church is not enough. That's why God told a ruler of the Jews who have chief seats in the temple, in the synagogue, he told him that you must be born again. And today I'm also telling you, you must be born again. You can be a member of Anointed Word, but you are not born again. And you can be a member of Lighthouse Chapel International, but you are not born again. Born again is not a type of church. Born again is a spiritual experience. And Jesus said it is a spiritual thing. Those who are born of the Spirit, they are spirit. And those who are born of the flesh, like they did an outdooring for you, you are just flesh. But when spiritually you are born again. So the one who is born again is the one who has had that spiritual experience Jesus is talking about. You are born of water and of the Spirit. Yeah. We'll explain it as we go along. Yeah. Point number three. You must be born again because when Adam sinned, he introduced death into the whole world. Yes. In Romans 5:12, Paul puts it this way, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So you are not a sinner only because you do wrong things, but you are a sinner because sin entered into a world and you entered into that world. Do you understand? You came into that world. So that world is a sinful world. So you have just added yourself to it. Yes. And the Bible says that sin entered into the world by one man. One person introduced it. And that's what we believe. We are Christians. That's what we believe. Some people find it difficult to believe. Now, how can it be that one person has made an error and it has affected all of us? But if you have a government and the leader makes a mistake, it will not affect all of us. Number four, you must be born again because death has spread to the whole world since Adam introduced sin into the world. Born again is important because death, this spiritual death, has spread throughout the whole world because of Adam's sin. Because Adam introduced sin into our world. Alright? So verse 12, he says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. No matter who you are in the world, this is how your state is. This is how God describes us. We are all dead in sins. Number 5, you must be born again because although death was introduced by one man, Adam, the free gift of life has been reintroduced by one man, Jesus Christ. Fantastic. Death was introduced by one man, Adam. But the gift of life, which is the opposite of death, has been reintroduced by one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, this one we'll be celebrating Easter for. Yes. Therefore, as by one man, Romans 5 verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Fantastic. Romans 6:23. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the thing. That Jesus is the reason for the new birth. Jesus Christ is the reason for making us pass from death to life. So the people who are in this category that the Bible is describing as they are dead in sins, they can only come alive when they come through Jesus Christ. That's why salvation, listen, is not just another religion. Jesus didn't come to form another religion. When they call Christianity another religion, it's unfortunate because it's not just trying to make an alternative religion to Islam, to Hinduism, to Shintoism, to Confucianism, or to Taoism, or Paganism, or African traditional religion, Afrocentric African traditional religion. Salvation is to pass from death to life. To be changed. He's not giving us a set of do's and don'ts. He didn't come to give us do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. He came to change our status from death to life. Oh yes. He came to change our status. That's what the Bible says. Since by one man sin entered into the world, so also by one man righteousness and life has come by one man, Christ Jesus. Oh yes. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beautiful. Number 6. You must be born again by hearing and receiving the incorruptible word of God. But this is what I personally believe is the water. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he says, being born again, being what? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed. So we are not born again by things. Things. That's why you don't need a chain with a cross to signify that you are born again. These are perishable, corruptible things. We are not born again by even just having your name in a church record. That record can, even fire can burn it. Even thieves can come and steal it. If it's a computer, they can take it away. If it's a paper, like a book, foolscap sheet. Is it foolscap or foolscap? What is it? Foolscap. Foolscap sheet. Or book. Or the ledger book that the accountants use. They use it to write everybody's name in the church. That one can also be stolen. We are not born again. So if you have your name in a church record, it doesn't mean you are born again. Even if the pastor knows you, it doesn't mean you are born again. Some people think that because I know them or I'm their friend or I have their number, so they are born again. Sure. Me, myself, the Bible says that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I myself am working my own salvation. Well, I know you, so because of that, am I the one who stands at heaven's gate? The fact that you are in the choir, or choir, or choir, it doesn't mean you are born again. You can sing, I'm born again, I'm born again. It doesn't mean you are born again. Because if you go and stand in a garage, like somebody has a nice garage where they park cars and say, I am BMW, 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 BMW. It doesn't make you a BMW. You can never change into a BMW by saying that you are BMW in a garage. In the same way, you can't just say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I go to church, I'm a bishop, Eddie is my bishop. Okay? You are joking. You are born again, not of corruptible seed, like seed that can be changed, affected, or even bribed, but of incorruptible seed, and the seed is the word of God. So when a person comes to church and hears preaching, that preaching changes him. Yes, and by that, when faith comes into his heart, he becomes born again. Yes, and he's changed forever. So that he's no longer in the category of dead in trespasses and sins, but he's now born again believer. As I said, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That's why people need to come to church. Even some of us who claim to be born again, we are not yet born again. Oh. Because sometimes, by the way you conduct yourself, it shows that awofufro no nyam yenyan awofufro. What happens to a believer who makes mistakes or sins? We'll tackle that subject as we go along. But the first thing you need to understand is that it is the word of God that leads us to this new birth. We are born by this new birth, by the word of God. It's the word of God. It's an incorruptible seed. It's a very powerful, potent force. Paul said in Romans 1:16 that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, salvation is another word for born again experience. So when somebody is born again, we say he's saved or he has experienced salvation. And it comes through the preaching of the word of God. That's why when we don't preach, and we don't preach in a way that makes the sinner see Jesus as his only ticket to pass from death to life. But we make it sound as though if you go to church, you are okay. If you come to my church, you are okay. If you hear my pastor, you are okay. If your name is in the church record, you are okay. Or if you sing in the choir, you are okay. Or if you are an usher, you are okay. Or you are a communion star, you are okay. Or that you count money in the church, you are okay. We have made a big mistake. Because the main seed that leads to that powerful transformation is the word of God. Hey, yeah. My last point. You must be born again by believing in Jesus Christ's death, the shedding of his blood, his burial, and his resurrection. You must be born again. By born again experience comes by believing in Jesus Christ's death, the shedding of his blood, his burial, and his resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. You see, I declared unto you what? Are you with me? Are we together? I declared unto you what? Huh? Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. See, he's now going to explain this gospel that he preached, in which the people are standing and by which they are saved. It's like how they got saved. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that, number one, Christ died for our sins. According to the scriptures. Christ didn't just die. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. Nobody in the world who has died claims that he was dying for somebody's sins. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's number one. That's what we must believe in to be saved. Number two, he was buried. You have to believe that he was buried. It's not just a casual believing. You have to believe that he was buried. And that, number three, he rose again the third day. You see, according to the scriptures. This is what he's trying to say, that he preached to the people. He preached to the people. And that he rose again the third day. And then he was seen of Peter. Cephas is Peter. Then of the 12. And after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day. But some are falling asleep. I'm sure now we can say that all of them are dead. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then, last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Like he was supposed to be part of the disciples, but he came later out of due time. Like when he has died and gone, now he appeared to him on the road to Emmaus, to Damascus, when he was going to persecute Christians. So he's also saying that Jesus appeared to him. So this Jesus who was killed, he was killed for our sins. And then he was buried. Then he rose again. So to be saved means to believe in his death, to believe in his burial, to believe in his resurrection, and to believe, and maybe the last one will be that, his soon coming, that he is coming again. Yes. But it's enough. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says what? Romans 10, 9 and 10. So when you meet somebody, you have to point out to the person that you are not saved because you are a Presbyterian, or your mother is a Presbyterian, or your father is a Presbyterian, or that they baptized you at the Catholic Church. You can be baptized, but you are not born again. Because all these are corruptible things. Corruptible means something that people can spoil or change. Corruptible means you can change. Because baptism, people can say, oh, you know, baptism originally is by immersion. But there was one of these rulers or, you know, important people in society in their day. And he was dying. While he was dying, they realized that he had not been baptized by immersion. And the state that he was in, he was bedridden. You couldn't go into the water, put him in, and bring him out. So somebody came up with the idea that, what about taking some of the water and sprinkling on him? And when they sprinkled, they realized that, if they can sprinkle on him, they can sprinkle on others. So then they say, we don't need to go to, in the cold winter, we shouldn't be going to baptize people. Let's just sprinkle. And that brought about the sprinkling of water by baptism. But John was also baptizing in Ainon, John 3:23. For John also was baptizing in Ainon, near Salim. Why? Because there was much water there. So that means that they didn't, if it was only by sprinkling, you don't have to go to Ainon, near Salim, to baptize people. Just go and fetch the water and sprinkle it. But it was necessary to baptize people by immersion. Because the word baptize is from baptizo, which means to immerse or put inside something and come out. So you can be baptized. People can corrupt it. Oh, I mean, Charlie, the way the man's sickness is, if you put him in water, you kill him. So let's just sprinkle the water on him. It has been corrupted. That's why I said we are not born again by corruptible things, even as silver and gold, but by the word of God, which abides, lives in you and abides in you forever. Are you hearing me? So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he says here that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus is my Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, which means he died and he rose again, you shall be saved. So salvation, being born again, it comes through believing in Jesus, believing that he died, believe that he rose again, and believe that he is also your Lord. Accept him as your Lord. That's the difference. So the difference is not that Jesus was not, like he died for all the people in the world. But the salvation only comes to those who have accepted it. That's why I say, if you will confess and believe, or believe and confess, you will be saved. That means you will be born again. That's what it means. That's what it means. That's what it means. So if you have not accepted it personally, but your father brought you, it doesn't mean that your father may have taken you to church, but you yourself, you are not born. It's like you have not been born again. When somebody is born, it's a radical thing. I mean, a new baby, when it comes here, it's like a wild thing that has happened. A new birth is like that. It's a wild thing that has happened. That's why you see the person singing songs when he didn't used to sing songs. You see the person praying when he didn't used to pray. You see the person going to church voluntarily and with joy and with gladness. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord, because something has happened to him in his heart. Yes. So if you don't personally, consciously, deliberately, unequivocally, and with your own volition and desire, actually confess him, I tell you that if you are not careful, you can be in a church for 100 years, you die and go to hell. Oh, yes. So finally, in John 1:11, the Bible says that Jesus came to his own, but his own received him not. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came to the Jews rejected him. But he said, but as many as believed, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Because when he came, the Jews rejected him, but some Samaritans accepted him, some Syrophoenicians accepted him, people of other tribes, people of, he came to Nazareth, they rejected him, but he went to the other towns, Bethsaida, and all these other places, they received him. But his own people did not receive him. But the Bible says, but as many as received him. So all those people from Samaria, remember the woman of Samaria? When she met Jesus, she went to the town, brought so many people, and they all gave their life to Christ. That woman and her people, they received him. So immediately the Bible said that such people, no, they were given the power to become the sons of God. Then another category are those who were not there to see him and receive him, but they heard of his name. Like me and you, we don't know Jesus. We were not there when he was walking in Galilee. We are not Jews. We are not Syrophoenicians. We are not Gentiles around the area where he was born. But we heard of his name. And we too know, based on hearing his name, we also say, we accept him, we believe in him, he is our Lord, he is our master, and he is for us. So, even to them that believe on his name, even to them that believe on his name. So we never were there to receive him. Were you there when he came? White man has got religion. You say we should all accept him. Jews have got their savior. We say he should also be our savior. How can it be possible that the Jew savior is also our savior? We don't accept it. You were not there to receive him. His own people rejected him. Other people who were not Jews received him. To them, he gave power to become the sons of God. Remember the thief on the cross? You remember the thief on the cross? That thief on the cross, the dying thief, rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. The dying thief. Last minute. Just before he died. Are we together? Jesus told him, today, you'll be with me in paradise. He was also crossed to the other side. And those of us who are now hearing the name of Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Who is Jesus? He's the Savior. Who is Jesus? He is the way. Who is Jesus? He is the truth. Who is Jesus? He is the life. That Jesus, we are hearing his name. And those of us who are not hearing his name, we too can be born again if we believe that he lived. We believe that he died. We believe that he rose again. We believe that he was seen of several people. He came out. You believe it? It may sound simple, but this is what is called the simplicity of the gospel. Which, at a point, if you are in it, you wonder that, it's so simple, then Christianity is not very... But this is the power of God unto salvation. If you haven't believed it well, that's why it doesn't look powerful. Yes. We are also here. Yes, sir. And it's our time. Yes, sir. And it's our turn. And there are several people. Some are our friends. Some are our neighbors. Some are our colleagues. Some are our family members. They don't know him. Somebody must preach. Somebody must go. Somebody must talk to them. Somebody must tell them that there is somebody called Jesus. Yes. And his name, through faith in his name, salvation can come. You see somebody who is total drunk, a drug addict, cannot even reason. But as soon as he encounters this Jesus, in a real way, not church going way. Because church going way doesn't change people. Yes, but real way, you see him transform totally. You will not recognize him. My own uncle was like that. I saw him in gutters. I saw him, and to this day, he doesn't drink. He doesn't follow drugs. He said, he's an usher in the church. To this day. That is why being born again is such an important thing. He told Nicodemus that you are a ruler of the Jews. You don't understand these things. These things are earthly things. I'm trying to explain earthly things. Not heaven. If I bring heavenly, you will not understand. But this one is easy. Then he says that. Then he explained that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting. That's another way of saying we'll be born again. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us believe in born again. Yes, let us believe in preaching that leads to salvation. Let us believe in the work that was done at Calvary. It is the reason why men can move from death to life. Give Jesus a big hand of praise. So do you have your list, your seven lists, your points? Number one is what? Born again, because the first time you were born in sin. Number two, because we are dead. We must be born again because you are dead. Death has fallen on all men because of their sins. Number three, you must be born again because when Adam sinned, he introduced death into the world. Both the spiritual one that separates us from God and the physical one, all of them came together. Number four, must be born again because death has spread to the whole world. And then, since Adam introduced into the world, death passed unto all men. Number five, you must be born again because although death was introduced by one man, Adam, the free gift of life has been reintroduced by one man, Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number six, you must be born again by hearing and receiving the incorruptible word of God. We are saved by that incorruptible word of God. Not with corruptible things like name in a record or even money. Number seven, you can be born again by believing in Jesus Christ's death, the shedding of his blood, his burial, and his resurrection. Father, lift your hand and thank him for salvation. Thank him that you can also be born again. And if you are here today, maybe your name is just in a record, but you haven't opened your heart and your mouth to clearly declare Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior in a real way. Maybe you did it to please your mother. Maybe you did it to please your friend. Maybe you did it to please the one who invited you to church. But today, you want to just open your mouth and take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, please lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you. Somebody invited you. God bless you. Somebody brought you. God bless. Or maybe as you sit here, I've been going to church, but I realize that I'm not a really born again Christian. But today, I want to begin well. I want to begin well. Maybe you've come to play church, to please somebody. Oh, yes, I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you have lifted your hand, come to me right in front here so I can pray for you.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus,
come in today, come in to stay.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Beautiful. Lift up your two hands to heaven. I'm going to say a prayer. You will pray it after me. Now, after today, after this prayer, if you really mean it in your heart, you will never be the same again. You will start to like to come to church. You will start to like to read your Bible. Yes, you will start to like even God and church things. You know, when you are backsliding, then all these things, you don't like to read your Bible, you know, so you are going backwards. But from today, all born again believers, we are changing our sliding back and we are pressing on toward the mark of the high calling. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. From today, I will serve Jesus. I will follow Jesus for the rest of my days. Please write my name in the book of life. Please write my name in the book of life. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I will love Him. I will serve Him. I will follow Him for the rest of my days. Thank you, Father, for my salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have you seen Brother Gilbert? What are you doing for them? What are you going to do for them? Today. Okay. Right. He's going to talk to you. And then, but from today, do you come to church here? Do you come to church here? Reverend, are you here regularly? Do you come every Sunday? Do you come every Sunday? Do you come every Sunday? You come every okay from today, make this your church. Like, I'm going to come to church every Sunday. I'm going to hear the word. Now, this word you have heard is what introduces you to the new life. Okay, watch me to the new life. Now, the more of the word you keep hearing, the more you understand what has happened and how to live the new life. And how to live it victoriously. And how to live it abundantly. So God is going to help you. So take that decision today. That I'm going to serve God on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. Soon we are going to have weekday service. And when we have weekday service, I'll be there on weekday. If there's a Friday evening prayer meeting, I'll be there. If there's a Saturday dawn prayer meeting, I'll be there. If there's an all night, I'll be there. That is a new life. And when you follow God that way, I've seen it for many years. It has blessed my life. It will bless your life too. Please follow Pastor Brother Gilbert. All right. Now, we are also coming to partake. This is what makes the communion also relevant. By His body, by His blood, we are washed, we are cleansed. Father, bless the bread and the wine. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Take, eat, this is
drink.
My body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of
be
the
blessed.
Blood of Christ.
The Lord remember you. The Lord favor you. The Lord deliver you. And the Lord empower you. May He empower you to serve Him. Empower you to live for Him. Empower you to prosper. Empower you to sow seed. Empower you in your life. May He deliver you from witches and wizards. For there is no enchantment against Israel, and there shall be no divination against Jacob. There is no charm that can overpower you, and there is no divination, there's no spell. Every spell be broken in the name of Jesus, and every power be neutralized in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and take your seat.
Trust that the word you've received today will bear much fruit in your life. Follow Bishop Eddie Addy on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram for more life-changing messages. May God richly bless you and empower you for greater and better victories ahead.
My heart forever is
we believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26767 6055. +233 26767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.